It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, January 11th, 2021. We have 20 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through this afternoon and then a gale watch in effect from this evening through tomorrow morning. We have south winds in the forecast today, 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 30, occasional gusts up to 40 knots early in the morning, combined seas 15 feet with a dominant period of 14 seconds and rain. And Monday night, we will see combined seas of about 19 feet, and on Tuesday, west swells of 20 feet. So the sea heights are going to creep back up again. The Columbia River Bar is already on yellow status. And when I looked at a kind of a weather map of our part of the Pacific, I could see that on Tuesday, it looks like we might have that coastal jet phenomenon that I have talked about recently, where when a weather system kind of squeezes the air up against the coast, you can have very, very fast winds racing up from the south, so that the winds are actually blowing harder right close to the coast than they are further out to sea. So we'll have to see if that happens on Tuesday, but it looks pretty likely that we'll have that pattern here. Overall, in our ship schedule today, we have two car carriers, and the rest are all bulk carriers, bringing in various kinds of dry mineral and agricultural cargoes. The two car carriers, one of them is carrying Subarus. Actually, they're both carrying Subarus today, which go to the port of Vancouver. And so that's pretty typical. Most of our ships here are bulk carriers. We also have a smattering of tankers and an occasional, well, regular container ship service, but not these days, but not... maybe once a week or so, you'll see a container ship coming in. So that's kind of a breakdown of the kinds of vessels that we see on the Columbia. We are a big exporter of dry mineral cargoes and agricultural cargoes like corn, soy, and wheat, and other kinds of grains that head to other parts of the world. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the next generation of U.S. Coast Guard icebreakers, very special ships that are designed to go up into places like the Arctic, where the ice is very thick, and break through the ice and create paths where other ships can go, and also to do rescue operations in places where there can be ice cover on top of the ocean. Now, these icebreakers are destined for duty in the Arctic. And with polar ice melting, shipping is becoming more of a possibility and a reality there. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about a shipyard in Mississippi that is going to be designing and building these new ships that are called polar security cutters. And so it also just gives me an opportunity to talk about another one of those unseen things in the maritime industry that is so important, and that is the shipyard and what they do in a shipyard, and how we have a very important one right here in Portland, up the river from Astoria. So I want to start out by reading you part of an article from the gcaptain.com, a maritime news website. It's about the contract being awarded to this Mississippi shipyard to build this next generation icebreaker. And our icebreakers currently, I think, are over 40 years old, the two of them that we have. And we really are in need of having more brand new ships built so that they can handle the difficult conditions up there and just be brand new, very, very seaworthy vessels. And all ships reach a certain point where metal fatigue and other things make it just really impossible for them to continue any longer. So the natural life of a ship is often about 30 years or so, but that's an average, and some ships go beyond that. So here's that a little bit of that article from gcaptain.com. Mississippi-based VT Halter Marine, that's a company, is in the process of getting its Pascagoula yard ready for the construction of the Coast Guard's next-generation icebreaker, the Polar Security Cutter. The yard is expected to complete upgrades to the launch way area, which is an area where you can bring ships in and out of, in July, where the 400-foot-long PSC, as it's called, will be built. The launch way has been fortified to accommodate the 19,000-ton launch weight, the heaviest vessel per foot ever built at this yard. The upgrade project began in July 2020 with the removal of 11 launch way rail lines. Crews then dug over 1,200 holes that were filled with grout and concrete to serve as new pilings. These piles will transfer the PSC's heavy load to a deeper level than previously possible. So they're really fortifying and redesigning their shipyard so that they will be able to handle building these big, very heavy vessels. icebreakers are very massive vessels. They have thick hulls. They're designed to be heavy. Their job really is to smash through the ice. So their role and their construction is quite different from ordinary from ships that are not designed for that kind of work. So this sort of opens a door to thinking about all of the preparation that goes into building a ship or even repairing a ship. And those kinds of things happen in a place called a shipyard. A shipyard has to have facilities large enough to allow them to build a ship and then to launch it when it's finished. So shipyards are another one of those extremely important, very invisible parts of the maritime industry that we really rarely talk about. And considering that there is such a big shipyard up on at Swan Island in Portland, it's nice to be able to talk about that because ships come by here all the time that are going up there for maintenance and repairs. And another piece of very specialized equipment that is up at that shipyard right here in Portland is was brought up the Columbia River a few years ago on a very specialized ship called a heavy lift ship. It's designed to carry and haul very heavy cargoes that may even be oddly shaped. So the cargo on that ship was a submersible dry dock in pieces, which were massive. And that cargo went up to the shipyard at Swan Island in Portland, where it was assembled into what is now the biggest submersible dry dock in North America. So a dry dock is a place where you can put a ship and take the water away from it one way or another so that you can get at the bottom, which would normally be submerged underwater. So a submersible dry dock works in a quite ingenious way. It can lower itself below the surface of the water underneath the ship so they can bring a ship into it. And then they pump the water out of it, and it raises the ship up out of the water so that it's now sitting in that dry dock, almost like a big basket, and then they can work on it. Another kind of dry dock, which is a more traditional type of dry dock, is almost like a lock in a canal. They bring the ship into this enclosed dock area, close heavy doors that block any more water from entering, and then they pump all that water out so the ship is now out of the water and can be worked on in that enclosed space. And this is a huge process, with painstaking calculations of exactly how to support the ship safely when it's out of the water. Since ships are meant to have the even pressure of water all around their hulls, and if they're out of the water, they really must be very carefully supported at various points on the hull to prevent damage. So this is, as I said, one of those unseen, yet hugely complicated parts of the maritime industry. The maritime industry is way more than the people who are on the ships, and it's fun to talk about that as well. Ships need maintenance every few years, and the need for repairs can happen at any time. So with the importance of the world merchant fleet to bring us our 90% of everything, which we've talked about before, shipyards remain an obscure but very vital part of the maritime industry. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.